great to have you kids, adults, and everyone else. Hey, just to get started, we are going to review our UPS rules. Can anybody, you can raise your hand, tell me an UPS rule. Donovan, listen up. Excellent. Yeah. Okay, Kyle, sit up. Yeah, Callie, look up. Anybody else got an idea? Yeah, over there. Hand up, perfect.
Zip up.
Oh, yes. But there will be times when we don't want you to do that. We want you to talk. Yes, Mr.
Chin up.
Chin up.
Come in with a good attitude.
All right. Well, can anybody tell me what did we celebrate last week? It was really cool. Kaylee. Easter, yeah. And I like to call it Resurrection Day because it is so cool because we celebrate the fact that Christ rose from the dead. That is good news. A resurrection means to come back to life. And it implies you were dead beforehand. But guess what? Jesus came back from the dead. All my clubbers know what to do when I say two words. Word up. Jesus is alive. Stand up and point. Let's try it with everybody. Word up. Jesus is alive. Now, if you've got creaky knees, backs, other kind of aches and pains, feel free to just use your wrist. But we do need your voice. And I will keep this up here just as a great reminder. Okay, I would like to have all of our Good News Club helpers come up because these folks have been loving on your kids and tweens and teens this year. They're just going to say their name and we'll say thank you. And then it's going to be time for our youth to come up and do some singing. I'm Pastor Mike Crouch and I'm glad you're here.
Good morning. I'm Lucy Stubbings and I'm really happy to be here and working with your kids.
Dennis Clayson and I'm happy to be here.
I'm Minda Clayson and you are leader. Pat Smith.
I'm Barbara Moore, and I want to say when Dennis and I go over to the schools to pick up the children, our hearts are leaping with joy as we see one after another coming compared to previous years.
I'm Marty Phillips, and glad to be here.
I'm Jerry Plummer. I'm glad to be here, too.
I'm Dale Collins. I was introduced to Good News here at this church 45 years ago, and I've been teaching ever since, and I love it. And thank you. Thank you.
And I'm Sue Campanelli, and I wanted to say thank you to this church for sponsoring. We pull out close to 60 to 80 kids a week. Amazing.
All right. Let's have all the kids come up. We have got some songs. We are going to be doing some great motions, and I want to encourage you to do the motions as well, whether you stand or sit. So we're going to start, I think, with Jesus is the Good News.
Come on, people, now don't be late.
It is time now to celebrate. Nothing in the world is better. Nothing in the world compares. Come on, people, now jump on in. We are giving the praise to Him. Nothing in the world is greater than God's love for you. And you and you.
Jesus.
job. If any kids would like to recite a verse, you can do so now, and I've got a microphone. You can say it big and loud. Camilla, would you like to do it, sweetie? Okay, come on, right up here.
John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life.
Great job.
John 1:7 in English. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of man. There was a man sent from God, his name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness through the light, so that through him all men might believe.
Okay, Donovan.
1 Corinthians 5:3-4. For what I received, I passed on to you as the first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures.
Great job. At Good News Club, we want kids and everyone to get God's word in their heart. And so we always have them in memory verse. Miss Idell, I'll have you come up.
I thought I'd include the adults in this. So when I make a statement here, I want you to raise your hand if you think it's true, and if it's not, keep your hand down. All right, hippos have pink milk. If you think it's true, raise your hand. Goldfish sleep with their eyes open. All right. Some carrots are purple. Now, this is the hardest one. Giraffes and people have the same number of neck bones. Did you know that they were all true? And the Word of God is true. And sometimes people have said, well, I don't think that sounds right. But we have great proof of it. First of all, the Bible is a first-person witness. All those people in there saw Jesus, talked to him. They wrote it down in that New Testament. This is Paul speaking. It's 1 Corinthians, and he's talking to the church in Corinth. And he said, for I delivered to you as of first importance. This is really important, is what he's saying. What I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, and that he was buried and he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. So you kids, all of you could say it with me. This is the way you memorize. I don't have the best memory. And I've been working on this thing because I got to stand up here. But the whole thing is, I have found out that when I'm teaching or when I need it, God brings back the word. He gives it to you. It's down there somewhere. And so it's really worthwhile, no matter what your age is, to keep memorizing. Because those verses will see you through some hard times. So let's start, kids. Let's all start out. Say it with me. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day, in accordance with the scriptures, 15:3-4. Now, how about doing it with motions? Anybody know how to do the motions? Okay. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins, yeah. Accordance with the scriptures. Good. I see somebody down here that does know him. All right. That he was buried. Yeah. Put him down in the ground. That he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures.
1 Corinthians 15:3-4.
Let's talk about this a minute. I don't like you just to memorize something you don't understand. This was Paul, and he had a vision of Jesus. Jesus stopped him in his tracks on that road, and this man just turned around his whole life. I mean, really turned around. He met God, and he knew who Jesus was. He knew he was Lord to start with, and he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And, of course, he said, "I'm Jesus that you've been persecuting." And his whole life was changed. So it was of first importance. These are things that, these two facts right here that we just read, that he died for us and he rose from the grave, are of first importance. And he died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. You know what the scriptures are, guys? Tell me. It's the Bible. Yeah, that was a low voice, but it was said by one of our, it's the Bible. You know, when I'm counseling with the kids, I can use a whole bunch of different verses because it's all there. And then this was the part, he was buried and he was raised on the third day, again, according to the scriptures. Those disciples saw this. They talked to him. They didn't believe it at first. It was hard. They didn't believe it at first. So this wasn't easy persuasion. He proved it to them. Paul wrote it down here that this is what happened and that we can trust in it. That the Word of God has existed for thousands of years and this is truth. So let's say it again. Now let's say it real low this time. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. Corinthians 15:3-4. Let's see if we can say the first part and not look and say the last part. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. Close again. Okay. According to the scriptures. Yeah. Sounds like some people know this already. I think these adults helped you guys out.
Stand and do the motions, but let me help you out. Do it with me. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried and that he rose again the third day in accordance with the scriptures. 1 Corinthians 15:3-4. Stand up with me as we sing.
Buried, that he was.
Well, memorizing scripture is so much easier and so much fun when you can sing it. Well, I'm going to tell you a story. The disciples were very sad, and they were very confused. They had heard from Jesus' own lips that he was the Messiah. He was the promised one God was going to send. He would forgive them. He offered them hope. And now he was dead. They had lived with him for 3 years. They had traveled all around. They had heard his teaching. They also had seen him do incredible miracles. And he himself had told them that he was going to die, but that he would raise again. And they were so confused. This didn't make sense. How could he save them if he was dead? Most of his disciples had put their trust in him, and they believed in him. And then this had happened. There, because there were some religious leaders and there were some others who hated Jesus, and they came up with some lies and they said wrong things about him. And they said to the governor, he has done wrong. He should be put to death. Kill him. And unfortunately, the governor said, okay. And that's what they had done. They had beaten Jesus, and he bled and he suffered, even though he'd never done anything wrong. And here the disciples saw that. And they were so confused and sad. I'm wondering, can you show me your saddest face ever? Oh, this was so hard. Well, here's one of the questions we have to ask is, why did Jesus have to die? That's a great question. Because this wasn't an accident. He allowed himself to die because this was part of God's plan. Because you see, God in heaven is perfect. He never does anything wrong. And in fact, he can't allow anything wrong in his presence. But he created us perfect. And people went and did their own thing. In fact, the Bible tells us that all we like sheep have gone astray, everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And unfortunately, since we've done sin and we have sinned and we have wrong in our lives, there's a separation between us and God. He's perfect and can't tolerate sin. And here we are with things we've done wrong. Now, a definition of sin we like to use is sin is anything we say, think, or do that breaks God's law. The order's not important, but it's what happens. But what God did, as he said, when people sin, there has to be punishment. I have to deal with it. And so what he chose to do is God the Father sent God the Son to take the punishment we deserve. And if we put our faith in him, then our sin can be wiped clean. Another passage in the scriptures in Colossians 1, and it says, in him we have redemption, forgiveness of our sin. Well, this is what God did for us. And even though the disciples were very sad, God was at work. But you know what? Jesus had made a promise. He had said, on the third day, I'm going to rise from the dead. But the disciples didn't get it. Now, back in Bible times, they kept track of time a little different than us. A part of a day was considered a whole day. So he was put to death on Friday, day one, Saturday was day two, and then day three was Sunday. And we know that they put him in a tomb, and here's a picture of maybe what it was like, and they rolled a big rock there. You see, some of the leaders, the religious leaders, knew that Jesus said he'd rise from the dead, and they wanted to make sure that his disciples didn't come steal his body and then say, look, he's gone, he rose from the dead. And so they put a big rock that weighed maybe 1,000 pounds, and they had all these soldiers there, and these soldiers were mean. They were tough, and they were professionals. They were going to do their job. There was no way the disciples were going to break through there. Well, we are going to talk, and I want you to be like a detective and be looking for some proofs, because we're going to soon see. Word up. Jesus is alive. And you can jump out of your seat, because you probably need to. Anyway, early the next morning, there were two women that wanted to go and put spices on the body of Jesus. Well, suddenly there was an earthquake as they're on their way. Now, show me an earthquake in your seat. Ah! And when they got to the tomb, it was empty. And there was an angel there. We know the Bible says he had dazzling white clothes, clothes white as snow, dazzling appearance. Stand up. Show me what you would look like if you saw an angel. Go ahead and stand up. Maybe some of you would fall down. Would some of you try to run away? But don't any of you try to run away, because we have hot dogs all you can eat later on. You're going to want to stay for that. But some of those soldiers, they fainted and fell down like they were dead. And the angel said this to these ladies. He said, "Do not be afraid, for I know you're looking for Jesus who is crucified. He's not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come see the place where he lay." Jesus said he'd rise from the dead. Did the angel say that right? How can you rise from the dead? Maybe Jesus was who he said he was. And as a detective, we want to be thinking about this. Remember, Jesus said he would come alive from the dead. Our proof one, Jesus said he'd come alive again. What I'd like you to do is put your hands around your mouth. Jesus said he'd come alive again. That's our first proof. Okay, and so there he was. You know, Jesus knew that because he's the Son of God. And let's just say God knows everything. So here these women were, and they had just been told Jesus was alive. And so they went, "Oh, let's go tell the disciples." No, they ran. I'd like you to stand up, run in place as fast as you can. Run in place as fast as you can. Keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going. Run, 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 run. Okay, you can sit down. Good, you didn't go anywhere. And you know what was in the tomb? Was there a body? No. Were there bones? No. There was just the clothes that they had wrapped his body. And why was that the case? Because word up, Jesus is alive. That was our second proof. Proof two. The tomb is empty. Isn't that cool? The tomb is empty. So what I want you to do is, here's Jesus' body. Take your other hand, put it in the tomb, and then say, "The tomb is empty. The tomb is empty." Oh, that is so incredible. Well, there were two of Jesus' followers who were taking a walk from Jerusalem to a town called Emmaus. And they were sad too. They were discussing all that had happened, how they had put their faith in Jesus. They thought he was the Messiah, the one who would deliver them and rescue them. But then they'd seen him die too. They were so confused. And as they were walking and talking, all of a sudden a stranger came and began to walk and talk with them. And he said, "Hey, what are you guys talking about?" And they went, "What are we talking about? Are you the only one in Jerusalem who hasn't heard what happened to Jesus? I mean, we thought he was God's chosen one. He was going to save us. And then he was beaten and crucified and put in a tomb. But that's not all. Two of our women, his followers, the women came and they said they went to the tomb and he wasn't there and an angel appeared to them. Well, just say, we are confused. How do you not know about this? Well, we know that it was Jesus who was... He was the stranger, and he was talking to them. And he was kind of playing around with them a little bit, but he said this in Luke, "How foolish you are and slow to believe all the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter glory? And beginning in Moses at the very beginning and through the prophets, Jesus explained all the scriptures, how they were pointing to him." You see, these truths were written in what we call the Old or Older Testament, way before Jesus was arrived. But it was pointing to the fact that Jesus was coming. And that's our proof three. The Old Testament said the Savior would die and rise again. So let's get your Old Testament said the Savior would die and rise again. That was our third proof, and he began to explain his word to them. Well, they got to their destination in Emmaus, and they said, "Hey, stranger, why don't you stay with us? Okay, and have a meal." Well, Jesus broke the bread, and suddenly they went, "Oh, we know who you are. You're Jesus." And he gave thanks, and God opened their eyes, and they went, "Ah, it's you." And then he disappeared. That was kind of a mean trick, but it was kind of a cool one too. They'd be like, "Oh," they're like talking to each other, "Oh, can you believe it? I thought he looked familiar. Yeah, he did his hair different. No, I don't know what they said. But you know what? Jesus didn't just stay hidden from everyone, but he appeared to his disciples. And he allowed them to touch him. Here, you can touch the scars on my hands and place it here. And he ate food with them. And he talked with them and gave them more instructions. Said, don't be afraid, it's actually me. Remember how I told you I was going to rise from the dead? Yeah. And I did. Yeah. And they told him these things. But it wasn't just to the 11 and some others that he appeared to. We know from the scripture it says he was buried and raised on the third day in accordance to the scripture, and that he appeared to Peter and the 12, and then he appeared to more than 500 witnesses. Can you imagine if he'd only appeared to one or two people? They might have said, what did you eat for dinner? You had a weird dream. Or I don't think so. You have a wild imagination. But he appeared to 500 people. And the scripture says, most of whom are still alive at the time this was written. So if you wanted to know, did Jesus rise from the dead? Oh yeah, I saw him. Me too, me too, me too, me too. And like 400 people raised their hands. Wow, that's a great proof. In fact, our fourth proof is there were hundreds of eyewitnesses. Now I want you to put your glasses on. And there's two ways to put glasses on. There's the easy way, and then there's the hard way. So you can choose whichever ones you want. There were hundreds of eyewitnesses. Say it with me. Hundreds of eyewitnesses. Well, after that, after 40 days, when hundreds of people had seen him, he went out into a field outside the city. And Jesus gave them some final instructions. He said, I want you to tell everybody the good news about me. This is your job. And I'm going to send a helper. I'm going to send God the Spirit to help you, to give you the power to live of life pleasing to me and to help people. And all of a sudden, while he was speaking, his feet began to go off the ground. Oh, and they were looking and looking. I want you to look up into the sky. He went all the way up and disappeared into the clouds. And then as they had their heads looking for him, all of a sudden two angels came. And these angels, we read in the scripture, said, why are you standing looking at the sky? Jesus, who went back to heaven, will come back in the same way he went. That is good news. Jesus is our King, and he rules and he reigns in heaven. And someday he promised he's going to come back. And everyone who has put their faith and trust in Jesus can live with God forever in heaven, where there's no dying or tears or pain or sickness or anything bad. That is going to be incredible. Well, you know, we don't want to keep these proofs to ourselves. Let's practice them one more time. Remember our proof one? Jesus said he would come alive again. Our second proof, the tomb is still empty. That's awesome. Then the Old Testament, make your scriptures, said the Savior would die and rise again. And then the last one, remember, get your glasses on. There were hundreds of eyewitnesses. Those are great proofs. And you know what? This verse is of first importance. Let's stand up and say the verse with me, okay? And you can do the motions if you like. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scripture, that he was buried and that he rose again the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. You can have a seat. Great job. That news is too good to share. God's word says everyone who believes in him, puts their trust in him, have eternal life. And really, having eternal life, it's about saying, God, I know I've done wrong. I've sinned against you. I've gone my own way. But I believe that Jesus came and he took the punishment I deserve. And I want to follow you and give you my heart and life. And because word up, this is alive, we can trust him and know our sins are forgiven. Will you believe in him today if you haven't already? Oh, it's good news. Let me have you close your eyes and bow your head. And if you'd like to put your trust in Jesus today, go ahead and raise your hand. Okay, you can open your eyes now. If you're choosing to put your trust in Jesus, or if you have questions about our story, or if you have something that's on your heart that you want to pray about, you can join Miss Barbara or Idell or Pat or Sue back in the foyer, and they're happy to talk with you. Let me go ahead and pray. Dear Jesus, I thank you that you were the one God promised to send. And I thank you that you died for us, that you were buried, but yet you rose from the dead, according to the scriptures. Thank you for the good news you've given us. We are so grateful that you are our God. And if you want to talk to any of our helpers, you're more than welcome to go back there. Thank you, Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen.